After these messages, we'll be right back.
I can't believe I ate that whole thing.
Are you in good hands?
And now, a word from our sponsors.
Hey everybody, welcome to After These Messages, where we bring you hot takes on commercial breaks. That's right, we are here to talk about TV commercials, good ones and bad ones, and ones where people say weird shit like this.
Mayhem is everywhere.
My name is Andrew Walsh, I'm a very serious person, and I'm here with Genevieve Haz. Hello, Veeves.
Hi, Andrew.
This is the third attempt at recording the show because
yeah, mayhem is everywhere.
I had the giggles so bad the first two attempts just moments ago that we've had to stop down twice and retake it.
Yeah.
And I don't know why.
I kept trying to fight through it and it just got worse.
10 minutes ago, I was pretty straight up grumpy.
Why were you so grumpy?
I just, like, my natural grumpiness
level.
Oh,
you were baseline
just
grumpy.
Just baseline
gotcha.
Grumpy, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And then the second this music started, I felt that feeling that you get as a kid sometimes where, like, you're not supposed to laugh in class
yeah.
or it's like you're staying up with your friend all night and you can't stop laughing.
Like what once happened to me when I was at a... I don't know if I've told this story before. When I was in college, I went to pretty much like a pretty like not a party school college, mm-hmm. all women. And then like...
It was in Boston. Well, near Boston.
Okay. And then this actually does involve Harvard. So like a fun night out, heavy on the scare quotes, was like going to like a friend of ours at their Harvard dorm and like... There, I remember we went to one that was like a talent show. Again, I can't use enough scare quotes for this mm-hmm. entire story. Just put the entire story in scare quotes. We went to like a talent show, me and my friend Jessica, where these like earnest dorks were like playing guitar and mm-hmm. singing and doing slam poetry and whatever else. And one of the performances, and keep in mind, this is just in like a common room in a dorm. Like I don't even think it was mic'd or anything. So someone starts singing on their acoustic guitar an acoustic version of the Weird Al parody of New Drug, which is new. Oh, no, I'm sorry. They were doing the
yeah.
I apologize. They were doing New Drug, but
the
on an
original
acoustic
version,
guitar.
Yeah. And I know Jessica and I know
Jessica's a big Weird Al fan.
And also, I was going to say, as soon as you said Jessica, I was like, oh, of course she is. She might be number one on my list of people likely to get into the giggles with.
Well, right. Jessica makes me laugh so much. And she leaned over to me and whispered when they got to the new part, or as the person was singing New Drug, she started whispering the lyrics to New Duck.
I need a new duck.
And then she whispered, when she got to, and I'll tie him up with duct tape.
Yeah.
I had exactly that experience you're describing where I couldn't contain it anymore. And it was super inappropriate. Nobody else, this was not a comedic performance. And I just like basically had like a mini aneurysm on the beanbag or whatever I was sitting on. It was so good.
I'm looking at the lyrics to I Want a New Duck. I love, like, this is like some of the best Weird Al because it's absolutely ridiculous.
Yeah.
And it just like builds up a, wait, what was your relationship with your old duck? I want a new duck, one that won't try to bite, one that won't chew a hole in my socks, one that won't quack all night.
I like songs like New Duck because he just starts with like, what's a word that yeah. sounds kind of like drug, and then he just goes, then he works backwards from that.
I want a new duck, a mallard, I think. One that won't make a mess of my house or build a nest in the bathroom sink. Okay, I don't want to get the giggles again. Okay, so anyway, like I said a moment ago, I am a very serious person. We are
yeah.
here to do a very serious show about television commercials, and we're doing a Veeves takeover again today. This is where you have a lot of opinions and you're going to share them.
That's pretty much it.
Also means
yeah.
I didn't do shit to prepare the show.
Yeah, I mean, this is kind of like, you know, my grab bag that I build up over time. As you know, my main joy and activity in life is watching television.
Oh, I thought you were going to say listening to the Veeves Takeover theme.
I do love listening to the Veeves Takeover
theme.
That's
a close second.
Close second. And I got to say, like, there's been a lot of belly aching in the media lately about like, oh, all these services like Netflix and Amazon Prime and whatever like promised to be ad free and now they're not unless you pay extra. And it's like, yep, like duh, that was bound to happen. And also I don't care because I don't necessarily love sitting through the same damn, if I have to see that fucking Defender commercial one more time where those SUVs go up on an island and like like drive all around this crazy island. Like the music.
And then they stop short right at the cliff edge. Right, and you're just like, well, why would you do that? Why don't you just park a little bit further back?
It's so insane. I hate that ad. I'm so sick of it. And the music is like constantly running in the background of my brain right now. So I don't love sitting through the same commercial 50 times, but I also don't mind seeing new ads. And so I'm sort of like not pissed that some of these services that we pay for are also like sneaking in ads now.
I'm old enough to remember when people were upset when they started putting some sort of like, I'll call them commercials before movies.
Right.
It used to be the only thing you would see was like trailers full on like three or four minute long trailers. But like, are you kidding
not
me?
Buy a Coke cologne.
Commercial? I bought a ticket to be in there.
Yeah.
I bought a ticket.
Well, this is actually let's actually jump over my first one here, and let's go straight to this Alaska Airlines.
Are you forgetting something?
Oh, sorry. Yeah. A cat is not subordinate to a dog. That is extremely rude to cats. We met 5 minutes ago. Now we're married. You know what people like about gum? History. If it gets completely fucked up, so what?
At least one of us is a serious producer today.
Yes, thank you for keeping us hitting our posts. Mm-hmm. We'll get to this Audi one, which also enrages me, but let's start with this Alaska Airlines one because you mentioned kind of like this idea of, I don't know if shrinkflation is the right concept, but this idea of like things just kind of getting worse even as we seem to pay more for them. And I know we both have seen this one a lot. It's in heavy rotation and it is so, I just can't believe that Alaska Airlines marketing team looked at this and was like, yep, let's hit the links, like job done, you know, like it's just so fucking infuriating. So I think that it will be I'll explain what's happening because what you're hearing is an internal monologue of an airline of a plane passenger. We have a guy, young, good looking guy, probably in his 30s. And he's sitting in his airline seat, his seat on a plane, and he's on an aisle seat. And he's suddenly marveling at the fact that he has more leg room than he's used to. And he's sort of like, wow, can I like, I'd have my legs shrunk? Like, can I cross my legs? And it's like presented as this huge win because he paid for this, like he upgraded to a premium seat that has legroom where an adult man could comfortably sit.
Did my legs shrink? I can move them. I mean, I knew Alaska Airlines premium class had extra legroom, but this feels different. Okay, crazy idea. On the count of three, I'm going to try and cross my... Boy, that's nice.
And then the last, the thing on the writing on the screen is the most extra leg room in premium class, period.
So this, like, I've seen this and I've had the same reaction you have, too. And again, it almost gets into a little bit of what we were talking about on some more serious topics a couple of weeks ago about, like, well, are you mad at the ad? Are you mad at the company? Are you mad at what they stand for? Are you mad at the realities of life? Because I get irritated by this as well because I think I freaking hate the airline industry.
Yeah.
And Alaska is the one that I like the most.
Yeah,
despite
I'm shocked that Alaska, this feels like such a misstep. And I really, the way, like the production quality of the ad is fine, whatever, who cares. I do think this is a bad ad because it is so... It's like that. It reminds me of this guy who got into the news this week. I think he's the CEO of Kellogg's, maybe, or whoever makes Kellogg's.
He said everybody should eat more cereal.
It was
at night.
Real let them eat cake moment. Like everyone can eat cereal at night, and people were like, "Oh, I wonder what this fucking rich asshole's and I wonder what cereal this dude's family is eating every night for dinner." And I just sort of feel like Alaska's like, you know. How is it that they think we're going to be super stoked that for $150 extra dollars or whatever it is per, you know, for a premium seat, I think it kind of varies by flight. You have the extreme luxury of getting to cross your legs. Like, can they hear themselves?
Alaska, we don't torture you anymore. And that's why
no, We do torture you. But you can pay us $150 to not be in agony.
The reason I started where I started was just because I wanted to like not come off as hypocritical based on like some conversations we've had lately about like trying to separate out marketing from the realities of life. The only thing is they are intertwined. And this is a good example of like, well, this is an ad that maybe it's fine produced, like you said. There's nothing glaringly wrong about the ad. It's just
from
like what they're
from a technical,
but yeah. It's what they're advertising. And for me, the reality is, as the consumer watching TV, this reminded me of the shittiness of airlines.
It drives home. It's like they're just leaning into it. Like airline travel sucks. Because of decisions that we have made to squeeze every red cent out of the American public, out of the flying public. You have the, you know, I just feel like it's so audacious and not in a good way to remind everybody that if they can wring another $150 out of you, you can sit comfortably in an airline seat. Like that should be the absolute bare minimum of, that is a minimum viable product for what they sell. It blows my mind that this has made it onto the public airwaves.
Looks like the, I don't know, I'm doing very quick Googles here, but you always just think of like, well, the argument is we need to make money in order to keep the service going, right? Like from charging for
until the next government bailout,
right? Exactly, and
next
also like
taxpayer.
But it's
bailout.
Never like the CEOs. It's never the CEOs who are taking the hit.
No.
You know what I mean? It's always the customers. It's not like, and I just looked it up. It looks like the Alaska CEO with all, you know, all compensation considered is like, which is one of my favorite NPR shows, is like $6.5 million a year in salary and benefits and all the other, you know, I'm sure options and everything that goes along with that. So it's just like they're squeezing us, but clearly there are plenty of profits to be made. I think I saw something. I mean, I'm not going to quote a bunch of numbers on the fly here as I'm Googling on the fly, but it's just, it's not like, well, our margins are so small. Sometimes you think about like, you and I have been noticing it on the occasion that we go to lunch. Like I grabbed a pretty basic lunch for us the other day, which was we went to a place. I got takeout pho. So I got one large soup for me. I got one order of some sort of I think vermicelli dish for you, a bun dish for you. And we split an order of fresh rolls. And after tip, that was over $50.
Yeah.
And that was just like a lunch on a Wednesday.
Restaurant food is extremely expensive.
And the thing is like, first of all, I don't have to buy restaurant food, and I don't like complaining about shit like that. I just think it's pretty basic. Like, if you really don't want to pay, then, you know, find other things to do, which I have the ability to do. That day, we wanted that, but it's a huge difference from when we first moved to Seattle, and you get a quick takeout of, you know, a pho or whatever.
$7.
It's just like, yeah, whatever. But here's the deal with that. Like, I truly believe that this restaurant that I bought it from, I truly believe that they are not getting rich off of
me. Yeah.
It's a small place. The food is really good. And that's just the reality of the margins. But I don't believe that with the airline industry. They say that. They say, well, we need to pinch here. We need to pinch there. But you're raking in profits every year. Well, with the exception of the pandemic, you're always raking in more and more money. And that's what's really galling about it. And then bringing back to this commercial, it's like, this commercial, like, oh my God, I can cross my legs. It reminds me what shit heels they are.
It really reminds me of that. And it feels like they think that we are all just so beaten into submission.
Which we are.
Which, well, I'm not there yet because I do not see this and think like, oh, what a great service they're offering. I think, wow, how terrible they are. And like this, as I said, like it feels like a strange misstep for Alaska, which... I don't know that they're really better or worse than any other airline, but in general, I feel like they're.
I think they are. Like, I don't try to fly United. I'm a person with really long legs, and like certain there, Alaska actually, even just for the standard leg room, is better than other airlines.
And
I know that.
And if that's the case, tell us that.
Yeah, right.
Tell us how even your like anyone buying a ticket and flying on an Alaska plane has a more comfortable experience. Mm-hmm. And if you want to upgrade, if they want to tell me about this upgrade and like even more space, then like, sure.
Like tag it.
Put that in the ad. But to drive home how untenable a coach seat is so insulting, mm-hmm. and such a miss from a marketing mm-hmm. standpoint.
Yep, I agree. What else you got on your list?
Here's another one that really chaps my ass.
Are any of these going to be positive?
Yes.
Okay, good.
Yes. Then we'll talk about one that I like, and then we'll talk about one that I'm baffled by.
Okay, I like that.
And then we'll close on one that I like.
Okay, good.
This one I think is going to, I mean, this is another one where it's like, eat the rich, I feel mm-hmm. like is the ultimately the message that I'm taking from it. Mm-hmm. This is for the Audi Q4, which I think is their electric or hybrid vehicle. I'm not sure. We open on this woman who seems like kind of a real Karen, in my opinion. So again, I already think like casting was very strange.
All due respect to real Karens.
All due respect to the real Karens, but I'm talking about the, you know,
the stereotype
of the Karen. We all know what a Karen is.
I know, but I always feel a little bit bad about that. Karen. I know Karens.
I know Karens too.
I don't feel like they should have to carry around that burden.
Well, what do we say then?
I don't know. I can't come up with it now on the fly.
All right.
I'll get you a list of options.
Give me
next.
Some options.
What about that? What if for next week's show, can you remind me? There's no way I'll remember this unless you remind me that I'll come up with a list.
We'll sit on the beach in Mexico mm-hmm. and think up a list of alternates mm-hmm. for Karens.
After we fly there and I can, after I get my legs straightened after our flight.
Right, yeah. Okay. So this is again for the Audi Q4. And the sort of pitch for this is that you can really customize your experience of having it. And I'm sure it's an Audi. I'm sure it's a super nice luxury car. And there probably are a lot of things about the experience of driving it that you can customize to your own personal specs and whatever. That's also true with most cars. But like, I bet it's like a very high degree of personalization. The way this story is told is we have this woman of some name that we don't know what it is, could be Karen, hard to say. She's standing in the driveway of her absolutely over the top, although I don't think the commercial knows this, but to my eye, like an sort of an obscene amount of luxury. It's like one of those very, very modern square mm-hmm. homes. And sitting in the driveway is her new Audi Q4, and her son, who probably looks like he's, I don't know, 9, 10, something in their school age, is flipping through all of the, like, and it's, they sort of try to make it seem like it's a lot more, but he's flipping through all of the options that you can have for your headlight configuration, I guess.
Oh, you can control that now, but everybody just chooses to put it on blind Andrew mode.
Yes, exactly. and it's like, it's a stupid, it's a kind of like upgrade or personalization that is, to me, very stupid because it adds nothing to anyone's experience. Most people are just going to leave it on whatever the factory setting is. Some people will change it to whatever they personally want, but it doesn't change anything about the real driving experience. It doesn't improve the experience of, like, you know, doesn't improve safety or anything like that. It's just like a meaningless, luxurious touch. But this woman has so little going on in her life that she's making her son rotate through all of these options again and again, and she just won't pick one, and it's like driving
while
her son crazy.
While she's standing outside the car,
right, she's
seeing
watching
how they,
them.
Okay,
yeah.
From outside. Okay, let's see.
Next. Next. Stop.
We got it?
No. Keep going.
Again.
Next. Next.
If you next. Don't pick one.
Oh, you have time. Am I keeping you from your job? Next. I don't even know where I am anymore. Stop.
Do we finally have it?
Let's go back to the beginning.
Are you?
Your electric future customized. The fully electric Audi Q4 e-tron.
Okay, I take issue with one thing that you said.
What was that?
That dogs aren't better than cats. You said that in the intro. You said that you think this commercial is sort of, you didn't use this word, but I'll use the word tone deaf about the wealth that is displayed here. I mean, this is an ultra modern home, literally overlooking the ocean.
Yeah, it's on
a bluff.
On a bluff over,
like,
yes.
Right. I mean, it might not be relatable to most people who see this commercial. It's aspirational, I think. I think they think this is aspirational, or we're talking to the people who really are, you know, very, very wealthy. But yeah. I don't think that they think this is just like a suburban home.
No, I understand that. What I was trying to say, and I probably said it ineptly, was to my eye, this is like an obscene amount of luxury. But I think to the commercial makers or to Audi's creative team's eye, it's like a a normal kind of luxury for their customer base. Mm-hmm. Do you know, like, as versus like using, sometimes you'll see luxury depicted in ads in ways that are like underscoring the over the topness, obscenity of the wealth. Mm-hmm. And I just wanted to distinguish that this isn't in any way making fun of wealthy people. It's make mm-hmm. it's saying that
like
aspirational.
This, you either yeah. want to identify with it, or like I say, it's very aspirational. Like that is who I want right. to identify with when I drive this yeah. car. Maybe I might not be able to afford this lifestyle, but I might be able to afford this car, especially if I, you know, yeah. on credit or whatever, it's and like, you're doing well for yourself, and like you can see yourself in this situation. It's like, you know, like the McConaughey ads in a certain way. They're showing this luxury, not to make fun of it, but so that you can identify with that luxury. Yeah, if you were able to afford this car on a yeah. payment plan.
Like when they show that, when they do those Lexus ads every Christmas where somebody gets a Lexus in their driveway, they're mm-hmm. always in front of a big, beautiful house, and mm-hmm. usually very stylish, usually fairly modern looking house. It's like a luxury brand that wants to associate itself with modern young money, not mm-hmm. like old stuffy, you know, manor house.
Yeah,
money.
That always feels a little bit more cul-de-sac-y to me.
Yes.
Those.
And that's yeah. and that's I think the distinction I want to make here is that this is you know, this is like tech mogul mm-hmm. level of
yeah.
wealth.
Yeah, that's
the kind
yeah.
of house it mm-hmm. is.
Yeah, and it is beautiful.
It is a beautiful house, and I mean, you know, obviously it's like, I'm sure it's great to be super rich, but like, I just find that woman and her son and this whole thing, I find the whole thing exhausting. Like, her problems seem like her problems, but you know, her willingness to just like spend half an hour of her day picking light design mm-hmm. for her headlight, and like also like be sarcastic with her son while she does it.
I thought that
she's
was kind
so
of funny.
Unlike really.
I gotta say, yeah,
I find her so unlikable.
If I were to stumble on this in the wild, as you would say, I might have more similar feelings for you, but because I'd never seen this until just this very moment, you set it up for me in a way that maybe I was prepared to really hate her. Yeah. I actually thought when she was slapping back at her son, saying like, "Oh, I'm sorry, am I keeping you from your job?" I actually thought that was kind of funny.
If it was about something of like even fractionally more substance, mm-hmm. I might be okay with it.
Yeah,
like I love when parents dunk on their kids and like razz them. I think that's great. But watching this like pampered, spoiled, vapid woman cycle endlessly between four different light designs for her headlight just really, I don't know, it like put my hackles up.
I'm also going around the house all the time trying to find the perfect light profile for every room, so maybe I'm the wrong person to ask.
Oh my god, yeah, I guess like if you had one of these cars, how much time would we be spending on you picking the right light design?
Well, I'd probably get to know them, and then it's like based on circumstance.
Well, I can
time.
Tell you,
I probably have a chart that I'd write out and ask you to memorize.
I can tell you that I'm not going to sit in our Audi Q4 mm-hmm. While you stand in our driveway and have me cycle through them.
No, we're going to have kids for that. All right. What else? What else on your
list? All right. Let's bring the nose up on this negativity train, because I know I've been kind of ranty so far.
As a famous person yes. once said. I don't think I realized that had seeped into your vernacular as well.
This is an ad. I haven't seen it in a while, but for a while it was in heavy rotation. I was seeing it a lot. This is from Marshalls, discount clothing chain store that people are familiar with. And it's Marshalls is a place where you go like either because you sort of just feel like having a little retail therapy, you don't want to spend a ton of money, or you need a particular thing like a sports bra or something, you know, like it's got like specific usages, right?
Can I ask you a question that yeah. might make you uncomfortable, although I don't think it will? Are there differences? Are there significant differences between these three stores? And if so, can you rank them? And I assume we're kind of talking about like, I don't know if class is the wrong word, but sort of like respectability. You got Marshalls, you mm-hmm. got TJ Maxx, and you got Ross, right?
Right.
I kind of group all of those together, but I'll bet
and
you
also,
I'm wrong.
And also, don't forget about the Rack and
The rack feels a little bit more specific. Is that Nordstrom rack you mean?
It's Nordstrom rack.
Yeah, that feels a little bit more specific. It's, is that universal around the country the way TJ Maxx's are?
Oh, I don't think so. I didn't grow up with Nordstrom racks.
Yeah, that's
I don't know how far they spread.
Those three are like sort of brands that you live anywhere in the country, you could probably roll into one of them.
We didn't have Ross growing up, I don't think, where I was.
Oh, you didn't?
No,
oh, okay.
But whatever. I love Ross Dress for Less.
But is that the most affordable? Does that appeal to like the people who are like watching their pocketbooks even more?
I don't know. I guess I would sort of conditionally say that in my experience, Ross is a little bit more run down, or like a little bit like even later, like even older seasons of clothes, maybe a little cheaper. But I actually think that Ross's and TJ Maxx's and Marshall's are very much contingent on like the environment that they're in. So like if you put a Ross in like a more upscale part of the city or whatever, or like based on its clientele, I don't know that they're that different. It's more like how our Home Depot is shitty because our neighborhood is shitty.
Right. So in a certain way, and this brings it back to marketing, do you think that these three brands are all probably going after the same exact demographic?
Oh, for sure. Yeah. I mean, maybe they have like, you know, infinitesimal variations in how they think about their target market. But I mean, yeah, it's the same thing. It's like, it's women, you know, working to middle class women who are on a budget, but like to shop.
Okay. And so this one, to remind everybody, is for Marshalls.
Yeah. And so I bring all this up to say that the thing that most people think of Marshalls, like you said, is like, it's for bargain hunters. It's, you know, TJ Maxx kind of went after it, like really kind of, I think if there's one that's like the category leader, it's TJ Maxx. Like they've kind of coined the name Maxinista. Mm-hmm. They got some like buzz when people like Broad City, Broad City, the show.
Oh, yeah.
Kind of like gave them a little bump with like, yeah, that's cool to be a Maxinista. Mm-hmm. And like, you know, there's some not like a little bit ironic, but some cachet to finding like actual good fashion options at TJ Maxx. Mm-hmm. And I think Marshall's maybe like suffered a little bit in comparison and just became kind of like a bargain hunter place.
Okay.
So I like this ad because it's really in a subtle way and in a not like, not kind of like direct head on assault, but in a subtle way, pushing back on that perception by underscoring or telling you a story about how the people who do their buying for them are not just people going to Macy's and saying like, what did you not sell, Macy's? Uh-huh. Right. You know, but thinking really creatively and with insight and passion about what are beautiful objects and beautiful clothes and things that they can stock their stores with.
Mm-hmm. And would you agree with me? Because I only watched this commercial once a couple of weeks ago when you told me about it, but everybody who's like, who is portrayed as like the buyers for Marshalls, they all are kind of stylish in their own way, right?
Oh,
like
they're
the
very
first woman who jumps out of bed in a full like pantsuit. Is that what you call those?
Yeah. She wakes up, she jumps out of bed, and she's perfectly styled in this like coral pink pantsuit. It sounds worse than it is, so that she looks great. And then we, you know, cut around to these different buyers, and they're all, it's a very like a diverse group of people. You have a man, like mostly women, but one man.
But all very like kind of like they look very trendy, on trend.
Very on trend, and like have really great like kind of out very but like bright, bold styles. Mm-hmm. It's not, these are not like, you know, 10 different shades of taupe that you would get at like, you know, that would signal more. I always think of, whenever I think of people just wearing taupe and white, I always think of that scene from early on in Breaking Bad when Walt and Skyler go to their rich friends, Elliot and Gretchen's like fancy party.
Mm.
And because they're like one rung or more down on the social economic scale, they are there in like not crazy colors.
The whites are further down on this economic scale.
Right. Yeah, Skyler and Walt show up and they're wearing like sort of normal clothes she's wearing like a bright blue dress. He's wearing like, you know, a brown suit or something. Everybody else at this party has gotten the memo that you wear like taupe or white linen. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, very breathable.
Very, you know, just like these very like subtle colors and like no bright colors. And they stand out so much because bright colors is like, Not that you can't have a cool look that's bright colors, but in this environment, it like signals slightly less wealth.
That show did a lot with the colors of people's clothes, huh?
I mean, there are countless articles about like the arc of the narrative based on what colors people are wearing. Mm-hmm. And of course, like some of the colors, like Skylar was always in blue, Marie was always in purple.
Right, yeah.
So
anyway, I just wanted to sort of give you a sense of who these people are, because you immediately see them and you're kind of like, oh yeah, like they seem to be both very stylish, but with like an individual taste and personality.
It's absolutely.
Some people are born to hustle. You know the ones. They just can't pass up a good deal and can spot a bad one from over 50 feet away.
Now, I'm going to say, like, we see these, like, really cool-looking shoppers going around. One, like, stops her car when she sees a good deal at a child's lemonade stand. There are other people, like, kind of going through, like, resale shops and looking at vases. Maybe they would even call them vases. I'm not sure.
One of them sees a woman in this resale shop holding up an $8,000 vase, and the shopper who's watching her look at it shakes her head like, no, that's a terrible deal.
And the shopper is like kind of tucked away in the corner where using binoculars. Yeah. It's almost, I hate it when people make this comparison to everything, but like her standing in the corner with the binoculars is a little Wes Anderson.
You can't help but think of Wes Anderson. Yeah, yeah.
Bad one from over 50 feet away. They are the last great protectors of everyday value. Which is why we hired them all. At Marshalls, our buyers spend every day hustling for the brands you love, so you don't have to.
They're flying all over the world, looking at, like,
they can calculate the quality-to-cost ratio simply by touch. And know what makes bone china different from porcelain.
It's a secret.
They know how to shake hands in 16 different languages.
Yeah.
But most importantly, they know that bag is amazing. How many do you have? Yeah, we'll take them all. So crunch those numbers. Ooh, add these too. And let's seal that deal. We get the deals, you get the good stuff. Marshalls.
Yeah, you make a really good point. They do such a good job of making things. You go to Marshalls and you have these almost personal shoppers who are like really trendy, and they know they're going to find the best stuff for you, as opposed to just like,
and at a really great price.
It's back up the truck.
Yeah, just dump last year's out of style skinny jeans in a big pile.
Exactly.
You know, and that sometimes can feel, and I will say sometimes Ross does feel like this. You go to a Ross and it does feel like, oh, look at these. Even I can tell these jeans are like super not on trend. You
well, I can never remember his name, but he's so famous now, the Ross Dress for Less stand-up comedian, right? That we used to play it on TBTL all the time. James, is it Adomian?
Oh, Adomian.
Adomian. Do I have the right name? Is he the guy who's got the new special out?
I don't know. I mean, I know of him. Certainly, he's like involved in a lot of projects I've, you know, enjoy, but I don't know what his current deal is.
I'm going to play this only because I've brought it up, and I thought for sure you'd know, because this goes back, I think Luke was playing this on TBTL before I was even on TBTL. I thought this was sort of canon in our lives.
That's what we're doing. We're doing errands. Right? That's all we do. Went to Ross for Less. Anybody been to this nightmare? I walked into Ross. I thought I walked into downtown Beirut. I thought a bomb went off at this store. Everything's on the floor. How are they shopping over there? What, are they pulling stuff off the shelf? This is not my size.
I don't, it's not, Sebastian Maniscalco is the name. Sorry, it's not James Adomian. But anyway, does that name ring a bell to you?
No.
Thought we were talking about him a while back, but
I don't know him at all. I've heard that bit, right, probably from TBTL, but I did not know the name of the comedian.
Anyways, I do like that commercial.
Yeah, I think it's really good. I think it does a wonderful job storytelling and somewhat myth busting in a subtle, again, in a not in your face way, but like making you reframe how you think about the stuff that you see at Marshall's as being more like on trend, really beautiful, like cool stuff. I love the line about they know what makes the difference between porcelain and bone china.
Mm-hmm.
Like that's such a great little signifier without getting too kind of in the weeds about things.
Right. Yeah. As I like to say,
if anybody doesn't know the difference between a valance and a jabot, I really need you to leave.
My favorite lines from Veep.
I do know the difference between porcelain and bone china, but it's because I watch a lot of Great Pottery Throwdown.
Do you know the difference between a valance and a jabot?
I think a jabot is like a more specific type of valance.
I need you to leave. All right, what's up next on the agenda here?
All right, let's get weird. I think this is so weird. This is for, I don't, how many commercials would you say in your life you've seen for a toilet?
How many commercials have I? Well, now you and I talked about that one commercial that is actually for some sort of medication that is supposed to help with toilet issues. And when I think of a toilet commercial, all I can picture is that woman who has to sit on a toilet all day, like at her desk and in the car. God, she opens up her minivan door and there's a toilet that is the driver's seat.
But they're not selling the toilet.
They're not selling the toilet. Although that would be, would that be like some sort of like monopoly if you sold both?
Well, I think there is a term in they're complementary goods.
Yes, yeah, exactly. Anyway,
this is for Kohler.
You're right, though. I can't think of any.
When
toilet
have you
commercial.
Seen a toilet commercial? Kohler is like move over smart car commercials. About to meet a smart toilet.
Okay.
And the fact that they put this, they do this in the middle of a highway makes me feel like they didn't have any. They were like, well, how do they advertise smart cars?
Wait, they're advertising a toilet in the middle of the highway?
Yeah. So let me set the scene for you. It's so wild to me. I saw this in the wild and I was like, are you kidding me? Like, I'm not mad at it exactly. I just think it's so bananas. Mm-hmm. We open on a huge, like a wide shot of like a kind of a barren landscape, and running down the middle of this barren landscape is just a black ribbon of highway.
It's like if you've driven through parts of maybe like Utah before,
sure,
or something like that. I mean, there are places in this country it's just like
any terrible place. Absolutely.
Oh,
whatever.
Oh my God.
They can take
it. We lost
it.
All of our listeners named Karen. We've lost all of our listeners in Utah.
Yeah, I'm coming for everybody.
Jeez.
So we're in Utah, I guess. And there's this just like scent, and it's kind of beautifully shot. It's just like very cinematic.
No.
I got there.
You've been hanging out with me too long.
No, really. So we zoom in on this like black ribbon of highway, and then in the center of this empty stretch of road is a black, just like, it's hard to tell what it is at first. It's just this like sort of a black pedestal. And then it starts doing things. I thought at first
the black pedestal, I assume, is the toilet.
It's the toilet, but you wouldn't necessarily know it at first because it's just sort of like a black, like it's sort of a kind of an obelisk or kind of like a, what's the thing?
Do they use the 2001?
I know. It really makes me think of the 2001 Space Odyssey. I really wish they had used that music. That would have been so much better. And then the toilet starts like doing transformer stuff where it like unfolds. Oh. I thought at first it was, I did not know it was for a toilet when I'm first watching it. I thought it was for like solar power technology or something, because it kind of like this flat black, again, this is all black, this black kind of like panel unfolds and kind of folds towards the sky. And I was like,
and this is something the toilet actually does?
I mean,
or they're just having a go.
I don't. Yeah, they're having a go. I see what you did there.
I didn't mean to. All right, let me watch this goddamn
thing.
Yeah,
watch and tell me what you think.
Okay, yeah, it looks like a square. It looks like a black square. Okay, oh, wow. Now we're getting some close-up shots of it. Like you said, it opens up like a solar panel almost. It's very angular. I think of a toilet as being very round,
yes,
right?
This, like, is all hard,
this
all
is
square,
all
square,
very, yeah,
right angles.
Yep.
Experience our most advanced smart toilet yet. Numi 2.0.
Wait, what?
Only from Kohler.
So the thing that looked like a solar panel, so basically,
it's just the back of the toilet. Like you're to
this thing in its resting state sits as a cube.
As a cube,
as
yeah,
a cube in your...
Put it in my chest.
This toilet would probably be in that house.
Yes,
with the Audi.
For sure, the Audi. The yeah, Audi is going to have, is going to buy, the Audi family wants to buy this toilet.
So you
no
walk
doubt
into your friend's bathroom, your rich friend's bathroom, and they just have a black square
and you're
where
like,
the toilet
oh,
should
shit
be. And you're like, oh shit, I really got to go.
Yeah.
And you're like dancing while it slowly,
and you're
slowly
like,
opens.
And you're like, toilet, open!
And then
toilet, like, activate!
Yeah, and then you just shit in the tub.
Then never go back to that house.
I hope it's a smart tub.
Or you come out of the bathroom and go, ah, gosh, guys, I hate to be the one to tell you this, but somebody shit in your tub.
Yeah, right.
That's how to handle that situation, by the way. get in front of the story, blame somebody else.
Absolutely. I wonder if this toilet, did they design this toilet specifically to prevent pranksters from doing upper deckers?
Yeah, you can't do an upper decker because there's no tank.
So the thing that we were describing is it looked like a panel comes out to catch the sun. It's really just the back of the toilet. It's like the lid, you, I assume, push a button, or maybe you just do it with your mind.
Yeah.
The lid kind of pop, like a square lid sort of pops up and then folds back and
yes.
becomes the back
and
of the
I don't
toilet.
Understand what that is. Anyone using the toilet like a chair? I mean, I understand you're sitting on it, mm-hmm. but is anyone leaning back into a backrest on a toilet? Nobody uses the tank as a backrest.
I don't
backrest.
Think you need to use that as a backrest, although it does look like one were this to be a chair. But I think what it does is it keeps your toilet, I mean, it's just a toilet lid. It
oh,
just
okay.
keeps
yeah.
the, you know, so that you don't have an open right. hole. And I guess we all have toilet lids, only this one is robotic, I guess.
So, and it doesn't tell you one damn thing about what this, I mean, it shows you.
Well, it's got a bidet built
in. I'm sure it's got a bidet, but like, tell me one thing about this smart toilet.
Yeah.
Besides,
and why is it in the...
besides it sits in the middle of a highway and does a transformer move.
Exactly. Imagine just driving down that. You're just like, oh, you're in like hour 5 of your road trip. And you're just like, what? Was that a turlet? Like, what? And it seems very dangerous.
Isn't there an episode of Bob's Burgers where they find a smart toilet that Gene like falls in love with?
Yes, but he has to send it back to the sea or something. Do I have that wrong? I feel like it's something takes place on the boardwalk.
Like every episode, but like I think they have to, for some reason, someone's after them to get the smart toilet back.
You have one more on your list. I'm going to delve in, I think, here in a little bit into some commercials from the past with love from me to YouTube. But before we move on to that, you have, of course, we have to have at least one progressive commercial per show.
Yes, by law.
And this is a new one. Now, this is in the Flowiverse, but it doesn't star Flo.
Doesn't even have Flo.
No.
This is a Maya commercial.
I couldn't remember her name. She's the one with the kind of the hoarser voice who's very sarcastic.
She's sarcastic.
Yeah. Is she starting to grow on you a little bit?
Yeah, actually she is.
Yeah.
I kind of like she's her. Had some funny episodes. Mm-hmm. Well, you can tell they're really
it's episodic.
Yeah. I like the one that featured her where she uses reverse psychology to like fool everybody into doing what she wants them to do. Yeah. So in this one, she's just sitting at somebody's kind of kitchen counter or in their home, and they have bought a house. And this is a little bit in the like we have a blank problem, but it's moving on from that trope. You have a young couple talking about their house, the insurance that they need, and then somebody appears in the back, and he's very ghostly, and he is in fact a ghost who apparently died in this house years ago. It's an older house.
Yeah, not quite Dickens-esque, but portrayed sort of in that ghostly fashion.
Yeah, he looks like he's maybe from the 30s or 40s by his clothes, and he's, you know, gray and mm-hmm. ghostly.
Yeah, okay. So he comes out from the wall as they're talking about insurance.
See, HomeQuote Explorer lets you easily compare home insurance options so you can get what you need without overpaying.
Yeah, we spent a lot on this kitchen.
Oh, yeah, really high-end stuff.
Sorry, that's our ghost.
Yeah, okay.
It's more annoying than anything.
Too bad there's mold behind the backsplash. Yep, there's mold.
Well then, let's see if we can save you some money with Progressive.
Guess how much I originally paid for this fireplace? $23. Materials and labor.
Just ignore him.
You got bamboozled!
I love that. That was the original drop I was going to use at the top of the show today. By the way, there's a little tag on this one. I don't know if you've seen the YouTube version, but when they post these to YouTube, they have little extra jokes at the end. So have you heard the other lines from the ghost here at the end?
No, I think I don't know if I've heard those because I saw this in the wild.
This is pretty funny.
It's weird we don't have a rug in here, right? What is this, a gymnasium?
I bet they say if you want to watch more funny commercials, check out their YouTube page. I like that ghost.
I
dislike that ghost, but I like the commercial.
No, I think he's good. I think his performance is good. I like the couple, and they're just so nonchalant about it. I think it's also because I've been watching a lot of Ghosts UK, which is a show.
Oh, yeah. You're watching the original.
Yeah. I think it's superior to the American remake, which I know is a very tired and predictable thing to say about British shows. But yeah, it's like the vibe is very similar, where you have like a kind of annoying Budinsky ghost and then a human or a live human who can see it and just like has to put up with it.
So this is a little segment we call With Love From Me to YouTube. I go through old VHS tapes that I find around town. I find the commercials, I digitize them, I upload them to YouTube. Look for us on YouTube after these messages podcast. I have a list of these commercials that I kind of collect that I hope to share with you on the show someday. But we're now getting to the part of the list that when I pulled these commercials like a year ago, I was very excited about them. But now they've been sitting on the list forever, and I don't remember why I was excited about them at first. And one that I keep on putting on the show sheet, then taking off and putting on the show sheet and taking off is this one for Coit Cleaning Services. And again, these are from VHS tapes, so they're all like from the 90s. I think this one aired locally here in Seattle on like the local news station, the morning news. Yeah, the Como Morning News, Seattle, February 28th, 1995. And it's for Coit Cleaning Services. And there are two women. And they're sharing, I believe, maybe not breakfast, but I believe maybe a cup of coffee or a cup of tea and maybe some pastries or something in the one woman's breakfast nook, let's say, or kitchen. And they're sitting in front of a window, and outside the window, we see the neighbor's house. There's nothing super noticeable about the house or the scene. It's just these two women sort of, is kvetching the right word here, maybe, Genevieve?
Sure.
I think they're kvetching.
That was quite a birthday party the Johnsons gave yesterday. All those two-year-olds in one living room?
Do you think it'll ever come clean?
Looks like she's invited the right people.
Call for Coit now and get 35% off all Coit cleaning service, draperies, carpets, area rugs, and upholstery. All at your convenience, all guaranteed in writing, and all 35% off.
I'd say she called the perfect party.
For value you can trust, call for Coit.
First of all, it gets a great jingle. If anybody wants to jump on that jingle and call into our voicemail line with it.
Just for your future reference, so you don't make this mistake again, I think you meant kibitzing.
Oh, what is kvetching? Is that crying?
That's complaining.
That's Yeah. I knew something was wrong about that. But So the reason I set up this commercial the way I did is because I don't know what to say about it. I just wanted you to see it. I find it very comforting, by the way. And it's weird. It's like, well, we could get a housekeeper or something if we wanted to. But first of all, I don't think Coit is just like housekeeping services. I think it's specifically like drapes, upholstery, carpet cleaning.
And like dealing with a big mess, maybe.
Right. But I like the idea. I mean, first of all, these women do seem like Budinskys in a way, right?
No, they're just gossipy neighbors.
A little gossipy. But, you know, the
harmless.
Gossip is just about, like, a kid's. Would your brain go there? Would you be having tea and crumpets with a friend, and you say, boy, they just had a party for their two-year-old? Pretty messy in there, don't you think? Is that where your mind would go?
I mean, if I definitely can see talking with a girlfriend and sort of, like laughing at is too strong a word, but, like, kind of, you know, feeling sorry for somebody who had a child's birthday party with a bunch of messy two-year-olds. Like, that sounds like a nightmare. And it would be like me and my other childless friends saying like, ugh, that's why we don't do that.
Right. Because, I mean, there again, as the person who really enjoys a clean home and also does have anxiety about having guests, because I both want the house to be clean before the guests get there, but then also I feel like I want to clean up after the guests leave, it speaks to me in that way. I also just love the 90s-ness of these women.
Yeah.
They're almost 80s-ish. Like, this is 95, I think I said, or 96. But it seems like 80s fashion. The one woman is wearing very big glasses.
Yeah.
Still.
The women are, like, I think a little older than the people they're talking about. So they're just sort of like, kind of like neighborhood aunties.
Yeah, exactly. All right, I'll play two more for you that I don't know what to say about, because that seems to be a real winning combo for me. I'm going to play both of these together. I'm going to see if they aired in the same broadcast. This first one aired, let's see here, during an ALCS matchup between the Cleveland, the Seattle Mariners and the Cleveland baseball team. That was 1995. This next one aired, yes, during the same exact baseball broadcast. So I'm going for something here. Both of them are Burger King commercials. And I think it's pretty clear that Burger King in the 90s had a campaign of just like regular people just bantering over their food, you know? I mean, the one that we play a lot is the one where they're all trying to remember the jingle from the 70s,
right?
Right. vegetables don't upset us right. or whatever. But there are also these, and I think I remember them. Now, I could probably go and look for these online and build a whole show around them. These just happen to be the two that I found naturally on these VHS tapes. But I think maybe they're a little interesting for compare and contrast, because it's just like a little slice of life of people just hanging out and being themselves and maybe a little bit funny around a Burger King table as they're eating their sandwiches. This one, you have, I think, four people sitting at the table. They look like kind of young black professionals. And one of them orders, I believe, a double Whopper. And so somebody comments about how big his sandwich is.
Here we go. Whopper Junior Value Meal. Whopper for me and a double Whopper.
Thanks, man.
Double Whopper. I'm scared of you.
It's good. It's as big as the American way. Big cars, big houses, big food.
At Burger King, get the flame-broiled taste of our Whopper Value Meal for just your size appetite at just your size price, starting at $1.99, and get your burger's worth.
And what about moderation?
Moderation's cool, if there's a whole lot of it.
Burger King, get your
burger. I'm wrong. There's actually three people eating, and they might be advertising three different size of sandwiches. Is she eating sort of a mini burger, then there's a Whopper, and then there's the double Whopper?
Yeah, exactly. So there's Whopper Jr., Whopper, and double Whopper.
I am a Burger King double Whopper consumer
I'm
myself.
I'm scared of you.
Yeah, as well you should be.
Because I, like
I
that
look
line.
Grotesque because I've been eating them for far too much of my life.
I like her slightly sarcastic, like, oh, look out for this guy.
Yeah, I know. I find these people actually pretty charming.
I do too. I think they have a fun vibe.
Yeah. And I
wonder if it was unusual in that day and age to see a commercial. And I wonder, like, you would have seen this in situ as it were, like in the whatever broadcast you were mm-hmm. watching. I assume it was that one of those.
It was that
FX,
baseball game.
Or yeah. the baseball game.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, it's nice to see, like, and I'm not that the 90s was, like, that long ago, but it's nice to see, like, young black professionals mm-hmm. presented in, like, a flattering light.
Yeah, yeah, just, like, kind of casually looking successful
yeah.
and not, like, some of the worst stereotypes right. that certainly would have floated around then and now.
Yeah, and in a major league broadcast, but, you know, baseball broadcast.
Yeah, and then here's one that aired during the same exact broadcast. This is two white guys, and this one I don't like as much. It feels more forced to me. This feels more like the two Sonic guys, who I know everybody loves them, and they're really famous improv comedians, but those Sonic guys, they really
rub you the wrong
they
way.
They really do, and this sort of has more of that vibe.
What, you didn't get tomatoes?
Nah, I've been kind of a rut lately, you know? I thought I'd mix it up a little bit. Whopper, no tomatoes.
Change of pace.
Exactly.
Expecting a weave and you bob.
Mm-hmm.
They're thinking zig, you zag.
Yeah.
You're a bold man.
The Whopper. It always tastes great because it's always fixed your way. With fries and a drink for just $2.99. Every day at Burger King.
So, you out of your rut?
I believe I am.
You're rutless.
Enough with the ruts.
You've been ejected from the rutmobile. No ruts, no glory.
There are no jokes in there.
Nope.
He's saying things as if they're jokes,
yeah.
but they don't really make sense. And then, like, you zig, they zag.
That
it sort
guy
of seems like a bunch of things people were just saying back then.
Super exhausting,
yes.
First of all. Like, just, God, guy, can we have 30 seconds of silence?
Right.
And I think part of his, like, nervous talking or constant, like, verbal diarrhea stemmed from the fact that he's in love with his friend.
Oh, maybe.
Or
he's in love with Seinfeld.
He definitely wants to do. He definitely.
I feel like there's a major Seinfeld. Like, hey, it's just two people like sitting around a table, and
yeah.
like the first one
yes.
with the three friends didn't.
He's
seem
trying
as
to do
bit-y.
Bit. No, not bitty. Yeah,
this one seems like, oh, I'm doing a bit, like as if it was like George or you know, like any of the three or four main characters of that sort of like razzing the one and saying jokes and like there's
and,
like
and
that
like working out material,
but like yeah. but there's no there. He's on three or four different ideas that none of them stick.
He's not gonna have a great stand-up special.
It's definitely.
I'll be the first to break it to him.
It's definitely exhausting.
But also, I got like a weird, not weird, bad, but just like, I think an unintended weird vibe of him. Like, he's very, he's very focused on his friend.
I like that narrative
but
better.
I don't think he can be
oh,
open about
it. Oh, I see. Yeah. Not with that accent and not in the 90s.
Everybody's talking at me. I don't hear words they're saying, only the echoes of my mind.
Last week on the show, we got a voicemail from a listener who said it might be interesting to just examine, like, kind of commercials that you wouldn't create in this day and age. I think that was listener Harvey, and I don't think he used the term problematic, but I think it was sort of implied.
Yeah.
And he said, like, here's an example of, like, one that has, like, a lot of cultural appropriation. It's the old Hams beer commercials. And I listened to this, and I was a little confused because he mentioned that it was going to be like Native American appropriation, and or at least I think he said that. And I assumed we were going to see a lot of like stereotypical imagery and all of the insensitive ways that those cultures have been portrayed, right, in pop culture. But instead, I was surprised that it was like this goofy, like cartoon bear that was almost like a Yogi Bear kind of vibe or whatever.
Right.
But the jingle, which apparently went back to like to black and white commercials in possibly the 50s or 60s, sounded like this.
From the land of sky blue waters,
waters.
From the land of pines, lofty blossoms, from the beer refreshing.
Pour an ice-cold Hams and treat yourself to the premium beer from the land of sky blue waters. Great tasting Hams.
So the drums there, clearly like the way the song is sort of sung and the rhythm of it definitely seems to evoke a sort of Native American
right.
tradition. But again, like even when you see non-cartoon figures in there, it's just a bunch of like white guys, I think, what, on a kayaking expedition
Camping or
like that.
They seem like they finished their logging job for the day and then decided to go kayaking.
Right, exactly. So I wonder if a logger would go kayaking at the end of a long day. It seems like they probably would just want to go in and watch some TV.
Now who's stereotyping?
Yeah, exactly. So anyway, we got this note from Caroline, I guess, who says, regarding the Hams tagline, the land of sky blue waters, Hams was founded in St. Paul, Minnesota. Minnesota is from the Dakota phrase, Minnesota Mach. Do you know how to say that, Vives?
I don't.
Minnesota Makchi, maybe?
Makotsi?
Makotsi, sorry about that. Which means land where the water reflects the clouds, reinterpreted here as land of sky blue water, so the indigenous connection is explicit.
Yeah, I appreciate
That's
that extra context.
Yeah,
thank you, Caroline.
Definitely.
And thanks, Harvey, for bringing this to the discussion.
Yeah, it is interesting, and it's in the music, and they don't visually sort of echo that,
yeah.
Which is good. And I don't know, I'm just sort of like, and I'm not trying to push back on anything, I'm just sort of sorting this out in my mind, because like then it's like, well, the name, like, well, the appropriation is just so deeply embedded
yeah.
in our culture.
That's the thing,
because
you
peel, like,
one,
well,
layer back and it's...
And it's like, well, it's Minnesota, and to say the word Minnesota, I don't
yeah.
feel like that's appropriation, right? But
right.
of course, at one point, like, you know, it is or was. So like, in honoring the state it comes from, but then you have that direct connection to the native communities that were there.
Yeah,
the
I think what makes me feel like it's something you wouldn't do today is like the brand, which I don't know its history, and you know, I could be wrong about this, but the brand, which presumably is probably white owned.
Yes, certainly.
Is profiting off of and leveraging the, you know, I don't want to say positive stereotypes, but like the sort of nostalgic stereotypes that people have or had about indigenous culture and life and music and like the land of sky blue waters and everything, and like just leveraging it in a way that is totally for the benefit of like the white capitalist owners, you
yeah.
know? And so I think, like, obviously I am not native and would not presume to speak for an indigenous person, but it does just feel like exploitative in that way. And it's a subtle thing, and it's not, you know, it's not the R words, you know, the Washington R
yeah,
words
right.
or anything. It's like, but it's all of a piece, right? And how much, like, so many things in our country are, versions of like she's like reinterpretations of or taken from the phrases, like the Dakota phrase that Caroline shared here, like, and it's just become so subsumed into our culture that it's been like its origins have been so lost. So it's nice to resurface those the real origins.
I don't know if you are guessing what's on my mind here, but we had a conversation a few weeks ago with a friend of ours, and actually you and I have talked about this commercial that I hear on the radio quite a bit for a local casino or a regional casino here called Muckleshoot Casino.
Yeah.
that is obviously on tribal land. And
of course, tribal owned.
And they have, and I'm bummed out here because I can't seem to find it on the fly. It's really hard to find radio commercial jingles on the fly. I'm going to play this TV commercial. We'll hear if they include the jingle. But the jingle is very, it's like kind of got, again, drums in it. And it's like kind of a chorus of people very staccato-ly singing, Muckle Shoot,
yeah.
You know, in a way. And let me see if it's in this commercial at all. This is a bizarre commercial. This is like you see a bunch of young people hanging out somewhere and then their car flies through the Seattle skies to land them. Have we talked about it? I swear we've talked about this before.
Remember this.
Or some version of this.
Muckle Shoot?
Yeezy.
So this is just a couple, I guess, or a couple of friends who are in a truck. And their
real
truck,
janky
yeah,
special effects.
Their truck magically rises up from whatever the ground it was on and then flies through the Seattle skyline. You see the
needle. I see it starting at that sculpture in Seattle Center.
Oh, right. Oh, yeah, there it is. So you're going to see a bunch of like little markers of Seattle culture, and then they're going to land at the casino.
It doesn't matter what you do or where you're coming from. What you do.
Yeah, this music, it's not quite in the clear the way it is on the radio one, but you can hear it a little bit in the background
yeah.
with that percussive
you
sound.
Do or where you're coming from. What you do is all at Muckleshoot Casino. Let it roll. Muckleshoot has the most games in the Northwest. Pick your favorite. I'm sure it's here. The fun never stops. What you do is all at Muckleshoot.
So you only get a little taste of the Muckleshoot at the end.
But it's underneath.
Yeah. When you've heard the radio commercial as many times as I have,
yeah.
like you can really hear it. But it's like, come in, do that, Muckleshoot. And our friend, do you remember our friend was over here the other day kind of checking in on our sick cat with us? And he kind of said, yeah, I don't know about that. We're like, but it's not appropriation, you
yes.
know, for them. They are a tribe.
Yeah,
they're
deciding
casino,
this represents
so
their branding. Yeah.
It was kind of on my mind because that is such a prominent commercial. We've talked
yeah.
about it before. And when you talk about like Hams, presumably being like a white-owned business
yeah.
for a long time, leaning into a song that sort of, that echoes a sort of, you know, sort of native sound,
yeah.
why there's a difference there.
There is
right?
a difference, yeah. Also, just unrelated, but low-key, my favorite thing about that commercial that you just played was when the voiceover guy says, come play your favorite game. I'm sure it's here.
I'm sure it's around here somewhere.
That's such a weird first person interjection.
Yeah, I'm sure.
For an ad like
has anybody seen this guy's favorite game? We're looking for this guy's favorite game.
Do you like is Jackstar Wild your favorite game? I'm sure it's here.
It's got to be here somewhere. there's one more piece of feedback I think we wanted to share.
Yes, in honor of the beginning of baseball season, which I know you're super excited about,
mm-hmm.
David shared this classic Mariners ad. And as he says, it is an awesome classic ad. And it's on YouTube and it has so many like loving comments underneath it.
This is
from the era of Ken Griffey Jr. And I guess he was so good in that era that they did a whole ad where he plays every position
mm-hmm.
and stick around to the end because there's a little fun tag on it too. But he's playing every position. So you hear the announcer saying, Griffey throws to Griffey, Griffey catches. And so like mm-hmm. it's just he's all the players.
And I'm guessing, did we say the year? I'm guessing this is like 95, probably like the height of Mariners Griffey-dom.
Yeah, I wouldn't be able
yeah.
to tell you.
And
but
I think I've seen this before. So Griffey is a center fielder, but in this commercial, he plays the pitcher and the catcher, I believe,
exactly.
as well. He plays literally every position.
And at one point, you'll hear somebody say, I hate human cloning or something like that. And it's, I don't know if it's really the manager. It seems hard to believe, but it's representing someone who is the coaching staff for the Twins.
Oh, I see. Oh, yeah. I was going to say, usually in the Mariners commercials, they get all the crew. But yeah, for an opposing team, they're not going to get probably the Twins manager.
I wouldn't think, but I don't know.
I don't think so.
Griffey makes a leaping catch. Throw to Griffey at second.
Gotcha.
Stop or play.
Another victim.
Griffey, working on a shutout, gets the sign from Griffey.
Don't shake me off.
Here's the wind and the pitch. Hot smash to third, got to be stopped by Griffey. The throw to Griffey at first.
I'm dead set against this human cloning thing.
The Seattle Mariners. Gotta love these guys.
Here you go, kids.
And the Mariners are
He's not just playing every position. He's also selling hot dogs in the stands.
That's great. That's also very of the era, right? Like cloning, like yes. Dolly the Sheep.
Right.
And
there's a lot of anxiety around cloning. And yeah, it was very, very fun.
Mariners
really of its moment.
They had the best commercials. I don't even know if they run them anymore.
And I like You Gotta Love These Guys. It beats anything could happen.
Yeah, exactly. And in 95, they actually had something to advertise too.
You can't sell anything. You can sell anything.
That was a fun show. Thanks for taking over, Genevieve. I appreciate it. If you guys want to take over the Facebook group, look for After These Messages podcast on Facebook and join the group. You can share commercials there or your thoughts. You can talk about what a dingbat I am. I almost said I is, which really...
really puts a fine point on that.
Really puts a bow on that sentence.
Yeah.
We also have the YouTube page I mentioned before. If you want to find us on YouTube and find those old commercials, go to YouTube and make sure you type in After These Messages podcast. Otherwise, you'll get a bunch of old commercials. You can email afterthesemessagesshow@gmail.com, or even better, record yourself a little voice memo and email it in, or you can call our voicemail line directly. That's 607-444-5597. That's 607-444-5597. 5597. Good times. We'll talk to you next Tuesday.